Blog Talk Radio.
Our precept for this evening is the foolishness of man or the foolishness of men. And we want to look at the word of the Most High from the standpoint of what he says about man and our ways and our thoughts, because man thinks that he's just so clever. He's so intelligent. He's so all this in a bag of chips. But the truth of the matter is, man has walked away from the Most High, real, but it is to all men everywhere, no matter what country you're in. This precept lines up with the precepts of Babylon, lines up with the precepts of the counterfeit Christian. It is online with those. And so we're going to look and see why the Most High calls man foolish on this evening. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you are in North America, whether you are in South America, whether you are on the African continent, whether you are in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. All right, that being said, we are going to go ahead and let me put up our statement of faith. And then I also want to, let me put down this song here. And I want to put up our foundation of discipleship, because I'm finding more and more that people who don't listen as often need these principles. These foundations and what their walk should be with the Most High. I actually thought that this precept was going to be on promiscuity on this afternoon today, but the Most High had said otherwise. And so here we are. We're going to be talking about the foolishness of man. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians 16. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah and glory and honor and praise to you, our Elohim, our sufficient one, our mighty one, our rock, Father. We just extol and adore you on today. And we magnify your name and we lift you up and we sing praise unto your name. For you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. You are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. And we just honor you on this your day that you have dictated that your people should keep perpetually, Father. And we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise. We bow down to you, O Yah Elohim. We bow down to you, and we worship and we praise you, Father. And we thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for all that you're going to do for us. We believe you, Father, and your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that are called in Messiah's name, that they would come and that they would hear your voice and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And our scriptures for today, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee, for thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And it is the Sabbath, and we want to blow the shofar. I want to blow on mine this evening, and then we will play the customary one from the professional. Thank you. Let us go over the foundations of discipleship. Foundations of discipleship. First of all, to be a disciple is to become a student of Messiah. And in becoming a student of Messiah, that means that we are trying to become like him. We are endeavoring to become everything that he was. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, starting in verse 9, Messiah broke it down to his disciples like this. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why don't you just speak clearly, plainly? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, the masses, it is not given. So everybody, you know, when I went to the farmer's market on Wednesday, there was this young lady, black young lady, about 30 years old. Sweetest spirit that I've met in a long time. And, you know, she was willing to share her testimony and to, you know, tell what all she had gone through and how she had come to this journey, come to where she's at in this journey. And she was at a level of truth concerning that, you know, 95% of the people in the church aren't going to make it. And most people could care less. So the Most High had to take her through some things, but I told her, you know, it was meant for you to get the understanding, especially once you got to the position to humble yourself. Then the Most High could speak to you and bring her into truth. And it's not about being a Hebrew Israelite or anything like that. It was her understanding of the fear of the Most High that she was supposed to have and the reverence that she had never had. And to understand that there's only one. And so she has started receiving understanding. Because it truly is, when we're going to talk about this precept on today, if you are truly a disciple of the Most High, of Messiah, then you'll understand that the foolish ways of men and the things how your former thoughts, if you are in understanding, how your former thoughts were just foolishness. So it was not given to the masses to understand this, even how to be a disciple.
Hello?
Yes.
Brother Miles, can you hear me?
I can hear you. You couldn't hear me, could you? Yes, I can hear you, but you couldn't hear me, right? Let me see if you can hear me now. Testing 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. Can you confirm whether you can hear me or not?
Sister Lorraine, do you hear me?
Is Brother Miles there?
We don't know.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Now I can.
Okay. I was just talking away.
I probably didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah, it's recorded on the other broadcast, but let me start over.
Okay.
Good grief. All right. So we're gonna go quickly over the foundations of discipleship. Okay, and to be a disciple means that you are a student of Messiah. And somebody stop switching screens. Leave my screen alone.
Just leave. Okay. I'll just leave, Brother Miles. I'm sorry.
Okay, leave my screen alone.
Okay.
up under this discipleship, it means to be a student and to become Christ-like in everything. And so in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 9, Messiah puts it this way. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why don't you speak to them plainly? And he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, it is not given. To the masses, it is not given. Telling about it, giving a sort of testimony of a young lady that I met at the farmer's market on Wednesday. Young lady, Hebrew Israelite. She's about 30 years old. And she was giving me her testimony. She loves the Most High, had been through some terrible things, and she had come to the realization, she came to the understanding of the real fear of the Most High, and to the understanding that, she was sick in her body, and until she got spiritually right with the Most High and started receiving understanding that, her body was going through some stuff, her spiritual sickness was actually manifesting itself in her body. And so once she came to understanding, her sickness went away. And so I was telling, sort of sharing with her that it was not, the understanding was not given to everyone. And it was not meant for the mass. But she had a certain level of understanding that, I admire, because you don't hear that, especially out of the younger generation, people to come to that understanding these days. And so, Messiah said, if we wanted to be his disciples, then the understanding had to be given to us, because it's not given to the general masses. Because for verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. He's talking about understanding. Okay, so we can think that we have understanding, but then if we don't come into truth, and if it's not given to us, he says that which you have can be what? Taken from you?
Taken away.
Okay, and so we got to understand that we have to seek the truth, and if he allows us, if he gives us the understanding, then we must obey.
Yes.
And if we don't, then that which we have will be taken from us. So we'll start believing false doctrines. We'll start believing every wind of doctrine. We will hear lies, and we will believe them. And when we hear the truth, we won't understand it. So this is what he's telling his disciples. This is why I don't speak to them plainly, because it's not given to them what? To understand it. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. People don't need to see miracles, because if they saw a miracle, they wouldn't understand what they were seeing. They would try to justify it in some type of scientific way today. If they see a curse, they don't understand what they're seeing. And when they hear the truth, they don't understand it. They can't discern it, because it's not given to them. Okay. So as a disciple, understanding has to be given to you by the Most High. So if you can understand these things, then know that you are blessed. Know that you are chosen. Because it's not given to everyone to even understand these things. So Messiah said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You got to seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness. That has to be the foremost important thing in your life. Secondly, you got to value the kingdom. It's got to be the most valuable thing that you treasure in your life. Can't be your house or your car or your children or your job. Verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So you got to understand that to get into the kingdom, it's got to be the most valuable thing to you. Getting, praises from men, getting, achieving high standards in this world can't be your focus. He's got to be getting into his kingdom is the most valuable thing in your life. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man. Oh, and let me finish it off. You got to be willing to give your all to get it. That's what that second part, that sells all that he has and buys it. So no matter what you have, no matter what you have obtained, getting into the kingdom is more valuable than that. I don't care if you're a trillionaire and you own some islands. Or you own a whole nation, you would sell that whole nation so you could get into the kingdom. See how valuable it has to be. Doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. You got to be willing to give your all. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so, again, this individual understands that the kingdom is so valuable that he sold his all to obtain the kingdom. Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So thirdly, you got to seek the Most High and his kingdom with your whole heart. You cannot come at this, pardon my French, half-assed. You can't come at this wanting to give, you know, do partial. Most God says, I want your whole heart. I want you to think everything about yourself into this. Be willing to give me your all. You're willing to sell your all. I need your whole heart too. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding and I will keep thy law. Yet I shall observe it with my whole heart. So when you have understanding, and this is something that we're going to talk about on tonight with the precept, the foolishness of men, is that men believe that they have understanding, but they forsloth. They forsook his ordinances, and they didn't seek after him with their whole heart. So they forgot what they were supposed to do. But if you want to be his disciple, then you have to keep his law with your whole heart. When you know to do that, then you have understanding. If you don't know to do that, then you are still in your foolishness and don't really recognize that. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, starting in verse 7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Why? For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. When you find the Most High, you know, when we first find him, we're on fire for him. But then slowly but surely, over time, we lose focus, we become desensitized, we become worldly again. We let the cares of the world creep in, and we don't return to him with our whole heart. But the Most High wants us, again, he wants us to be his with our whole heart. This is what he says of Israel. When Israel finally does return to him correct way, it will be with the whole heart to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments with our whole heart. If we are saying we believe in Messiah, then we have to believe in the Most High, his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and return unto him with our whole heart. As to believe in Messiah, I don't care whether you are consider yourself to be a Christian or you consider yourself to be Hebrew, to be the one and the same. But if you consider yourself to be a Orthodox Christian, the everyday one of the 30,000 denominations that are in the world believing in Messiah, then you got to return to him with your whole heart. Can't just give him what you want to give him and think that that's good enough, because it won't be. He won't accept that. So let's look at this from the book of Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14, let's start in verse 26. And this is Messiah himself talking. and we have to believe what he says. There's no rationalizing this. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you're trying to hold on to family and friends or even your own self, and if you love yourself more than you love him, if you love your own life more than you love him, if you're not willing to give him, literally give him your life, that you cannot be his disciple. I want your all. So it's not a question of, is it going to make you a poor disciple? No, he says you cannot be. You ain't even get to, you know, you got to be willing to give me your all. That's my minimum standard. Anything short of that, I don't want you. Now, these are his words. Cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross, whatever the Most High puts on you, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. So you got to be, whatever it's going to take, however he blesses you, you got to be willing to give it back to him and to bear your cross as far as your duty to him. If he says go, you go. If he says stay, you stay. If he says come, you come. If he says do whatever, that's what you do. And if it brings you up under hardship, then you bear it. And if you're not willing to do that, you cannot be his disciple, our King talking, our Savior talking, our Redeemer talking. You're not willing to give him your all, your whole heart. You're not willing to put him first in everything. Because you cannot be his disciple. You cannot be a follower of his. And also saying he's not your Savior. So we've got a lot of people walking around saying that they're saved, but not doing what it is that he said to do. And so we're going to see this in this lesson tonight. It's foolishness. And I'm using these foundations to show you just how critical these foundations of discipleship are. Because not to do this exactly what he said is foolishness. Okay. 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He's being real clear. I want you to consider what it's going to cost you, what it's going to take to follow me, to be my disciple, to give your all. Because if you don't consider the cost, then you will, when you see what it takes, you'll be like, I didn't know it was going to take all that. Most, I want to follow you, but whatever. It can't be no but. I want your whole heart. I want your all. You can't have nobody before me. You got to seek me first. Put me above everybody, even your own self. Are you willing to pay the cost? Or is you going to start off like you are so in love with me and so want to be with me and do what I say do, but then when you figure out that it's going to take everything that you have. It's going to take your all. But I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and I had been taught to do this, and I had made plans to do that. Yeah, but do you want to belong to me? This is what's going to cost you. So he says he wants you to consider the cost. Set the right expectation. You have the right expectation. This is going to take my all. It's going to take me giving everything. Or else I really can't belong to him. I cannot be his disciple. I cannot be a follower. I'm not willing to pay that price. So, you know, when we understand what he's saying and when we see what men have done, we want to make sure that we're not being foolish. Okay? Let's drop down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. You can't be taking on all this stuff, making everything more important than him. He didn't say it's going to make you a poor disciple. It's going to make you a poor saint. What I mean by poor, I mean in behavior, in compliance. He says you don't even qualify. You cannot be. So this is not Brother Miles' word. Whosoever of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot. That's directly from Messiah's mouth. Be my disciple. So we don't want to go through the motions, and he don't want us going through the motions. This is what I require. I require for you to seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. I require you to make me the most valuable thing in your life and my kingdom, the most valuable possession that you can ever obtain. You got to seek me with your whole heart. You can't love anybody or anything over me, not even yourself. Are you willing to pay the price it takes to be his disciple? Because he says if you're not willing to do these things and forsake all that you have, if you're not willing to do that, you cannot be his disciple. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, I hate to say it this way, but a lot of people think that they can come to the Most High on their terms. And that, you know, he's spelling it out. And like I told you, many people will hear this and they will not understand it. They'll hear it and they'll not accept it because I'm used to giving this level of service. I'm used to this is all I got to do. But when they hear that he wants their all, or they cannot be, they'll keep doing what they're doing because he's got to accept me. Because this is what I'm capable of giving. He didn't ask you what you were capable of giving. He didn't say, come and give me what you can. He said, give me your whole heart. Give me your all. Make me the most important entity in your life. Make getting to me your main focus in life. That's what I require. And if you cannot do that, you cannot be my disciple. Straight out of the mouth of Messiah. Okay, so we want to always keep that up front as his people. So when we talk about foolishness on tonight, we may not understand everything. He didn't ask you to understand everything. He asked for your obedience. He asked for your loyalty. He asked for you to give your all. In time, he will reveal all. He will open your understanding if you don't have complete understanding. But understand this. Messiah said it is not given to everybody to understand it. So let's go to the book of Isaiah. Start off there on this evening. And I hope that's set for all. Period. Anything less is unacceptable to him. And truth of the matter is, let's just be real. He don't have to take and accept anybody that's not giving him what he wants. Because of who he is the Most High. He don't have to settle for second best out of nothing and no one. So if we're reading it from his mouth in the English, if you're not willing to do these things, you cannot be my disciple. Then we don't want to do anything that's going to be make us be foolish. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. And let me pull up my Bible. Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to be getting verses 8 and 9. You know, because I was in a conversation this past week, and I'm not going to bring up any names, but I noticed a certain individual was doing some things, saying some things, and I realized what they were doing was putting their understanding over the Most High. And for whatever the reason, they cannot break out of this. Putting their understanding, their thoughts, their intellect over the Most High, and didn't want to accept his word for what it said. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, get verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is the Most High. Neither are my ways, saith Yah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. What I think about and what is important to me are not your thoughts. That's not what you think about. You about how much money do I need to pay the bills, and how am I going to look when I walk down the street, and when I put on these clothes, who's going to be looking at me? And whatever else, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our thoughts and his thoughts are foreign to us. And until we put ourselves in fear of him and actually obey him, we can't come in line with him, to even line up with his thoughts or his ways. We are human, and we are first carnal. So we care about the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And so until we do what it is that he's asking us to do, we can't even begin to comprehend. For as the heavens are as higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We're supposed to be getting the mind of the Most High. But if we don't bring ourselves into subjection with our whole heart, if we're not seeking him with everything, if he's not the most important thing in our life, we cannot come to that. We can't realize that. You can't begin to comprehend. And so a lot of people read the scriptures, and they're getting knowledge, but they're not necessarily getting understanding. And there's a difference there. You can read a lot of stuff and get knowledge of it, but don't understand it. And that's the way we are in these scriptures. So his thoughts and his ways are foreign to us. Unless we're willing to do what he says to do. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. The book of Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of man perverted his ways. The foolishness of man. If we don't realize that the Most High must be the most important thing in our lives, and getting into his kingdom is first and foremost, and he is before everything in our life. And if we don't realize that what cost we got to pay to obtain that, then our thoughts are foolish. The man perverts his ways. We will do things thinking we're doing right, but we're not doing it the way he said do it. And he don't keep it a secret. It is not hidden. It is not far from us. We don't need to send somebody into heaven to retrieve what the Most High said. We don't need to dig it up. He had it written. All we got to do is read it and believe it. And then do it. And his heart fret against Yah. So, the foolishness of man perverts his way. When we think that we can govern ourselves and that we are in charge of our lives and that we are in control of whatever's going to go on and we don't put it in his hands, and whenever we got a problem, we don't give it to him to fix it, and we try to fix it ourselves. If we don't abide by his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, if we put our righteousness above his, Most High, you know, I know what your word says right here, but I'm not going to do that. I think it you know, we're living in a land, they don't allow that. We're going to see that doing that mentality is foolishness. Say you know him. What, you're going to put the commandments of men before me? You're going to put the judgment and the statutes of men before mine? It's foolishness. So this word, fret, means to be sad, to be vexed. To enrage, be enraged, to be out of humor, to be angry, to appear perplexed, to appear to be angry, to appear to be troubled, to appear to be sad looking. So when we put that definition in this verse, the foolishness of man perverted his ways, and his heart, man's heart, appears to be enraged, appears to be angry against Yah. What it's saying. Only a fool would be angry with the most powerful being there is. You know, if you were in your natural mind, which we would be, we could be easily, and we come up against a situation, we come up against a gang leader or a mob boss, or we come up against some corrupt senator that don't mind having you killed if you step out of line with them, if you make a off-the-cuff remark to them, and just like Donald Trump said, I could walk down the street in the middle of Main Street in New York and shoot somebody down and y'all wouldn't do nothing to me. He's that type of individual that could care less. And when you appear to be angry with them, they're looking at you like you got a right to be angry with me. And we're dealing with the Most High Elohim, and he says, your foolishness perverts your ways. Your foolishness causes you to think that you can approach me any kind of way, that you can say to me whatever you want to say, or you can be however you want to be around me, that you think you can be angry with me if I don't do what you want me to do. if things don't go your way, if I take a loved one from you and you don't think that they should have been taken at this time, if something happens to you and it's foul and you don't feel like I protected you, then you might become of the mindset, you might become confused and think that you can just say whatever you want to say to me. That you don't really comprehend who you're dealing with. So the foolishness of man perverts his way. And his heart. Now, when he's talking about your heart, he's not talking about that which beats in your chest. Inner man, your mind, your will, your intellect. That's what he's talking about when he's saying heart. In your mind, you're angry. In your inner man, your spirit, you're angry. You have taken it upon yourself to have the will to be angry against God, against the Most High Elohim. So when he says your heart, he's talking about your mind, your intellect, your inner man, that which makes you who you are, makes you fret against the Most High. Why does getting into the kingdom cost me my all? Why do I have to be willing to give my all to enter into his kingdom? Why can't I just do this? Why can't I just be nice sometimes? Why does he want me to suffer first? He want me to put myself out there like that. Why does he want me to be kind to my enemy? Why? And he's saying, you are asking why, as though you have a right to ask why. You don't have any right to ask why, especially if you're not walking righteously before him. We went through that precept the other week, or a couple of nights ago. You don't have a right to approach him when you're not walking righteously before him. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Because this has been from the very beginning. This is nothing new. There is nothing new under the sun. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 1. We're going to get verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, this is man's nature left on his own. The Most High said, I created man. But this is the nature that's in him. It's not his nature to be good. Wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, we might say, well, that was circumstantial. Was it? the mind and the heart, the mind of man, was wicked. He just thought about doing wickedness. That was his way. So the Most High said he was, it repented him that he made man on the earth. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I created this creature. He's foolish. And the way of doing right is not in him. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Well, no, let's keep reading this. Down to verse 7. And it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Think about what the Most High is saying there. It grieved him, the Most High Elohim, in his heart, in his mind. When our emotions give us, our heart and our thoughts give us emotional reactions, also affect our health. But it grieved the Most High in his heart that he had made man. I'd have created a wicked being whose thoughts are continually evil. It ain't his first thought to do good. It's his first thought to do wickedness. And Yah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Not just man, but man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. But it repenteth me that I have made them. Because of the man and the relationship with the animals and with such is different then. Man didn't eat meat at this time. He wasn't eating the animals. And he was able to communicate with them. Just like the serpent came up and communicated with Eve. It was a different world. The animals didn't eat other animals. But they were killing each other. Not to eat, not for food. Think about that. The only reason that the animals kill today is so that they can eat. The reason that we kill today is so that we can eat when we're talking about killing for food. But we got to kill for food. But at this time, nobody was eating meat. They were all eating the herbs of the field and the fruit from the trees. And the animals did that as well, just like Cain killed Abel. The animals were killing other animals. That's why he said, and the beast. All flesh has corrupted its ways. It wasn't just man, but it was because of man. Go to Genesis chapter 8. It said that man's thoughts were evil continually. The thoughts of his heart, his mind, his true self. And we got to understand that that's man's nature, his nature today. We wonder, how do men do certain things? How is it in their heart to do a certain thing? And we have things that we classify as evil, but not the evil we do. We don't classify the evil that we do as evil, but the evil that other men do, but we're not seeing it from the eyes of the Most High. Most High says your evil is just as bad as their evil. You can't use them to justify yourself. That's why he says my thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts and your ways. Even when you think you are thinking good, there's some corruptness, there's some evil about your intent. Even if it's just selfishness. You're going to put yourself over somebody else. He said, it's wickedness. It's evil. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. And Elohim spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Now he has destroyed all but eight souls. He has brought every creature that he's going to save into the ark. He has flooded the earth, and everything that breathed air other than what was in the ark died. Eight people, some two by two, or I think it's seven by seven, no, two by two of the unclean, and of the clean by seven. But he's destroyed everything else that breathes air, birds, animals, man. And he was sorry that he made, so I'm going to start over. Now, when he started over with Noah, Noah was righteous in his eyes. That doesn't mean that Noah's sons and their wives or his wife was righteous or perfect in his eyes. He said Noah was. So coming forth out of the flood, we still have men and women whose thoughts are evil continually. See it with Noah and his son. Who saw the nakedness of his father. And I think he did a little bit more than that, but I'll just leave it with he saw the nakedness of his father. Right off the bat. Evil. Thought evil. Let's drop down and let's get verses 20 and 21. And Noah built an altar unto Yah, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered a burnt offering on the altar. This would have been the first, well, besides the Most High killing the animals that he killed to make the skins for Adam and Eve, this would be the first legal killing of an animal. For a burnt offering. And Yah smelled the sweet savor, and Yah said unto in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, because of man. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. The evil of man's heart. Man's heart is evil from his what? Youth. From a child. Don't take the cookie out the cookie jar. The first thing the child want to do is take the cookie out the cookie jar. Why? Because you told him not to. So we got to understand that this is man's way. Man is not inherently good. The Most High says the opposite. We are by nature wicked and evil. So he says, let me give you the things that are going to make you good. Let me teach you the things that are going to make you good, because it's not your nature. It'd be one thing, you know, some people say, why didn't the Most High just make everybody perfect? He gave us free will. And he says, and what you did with free will, you used your free will to do wickedness, evil. And it wasn't sometimes. It was continuous. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Because they've come off the ark, Noah and his sons and their wives. And in Genesis chapter 11, actually chapter 10, we are told, you know, Genesis chapter 10 is an overview. We're not going to read it tonight, but if you read Genesis chapter 10, it's an overview of Noah and his sons and their children, the children that they had. That's what it is. Now let's get into verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language. They all came off the one boat. They all were of the seed of Noah and his sons. They only had one language. And one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, as they journeyed from Mount Ararat back toward the east. I mean, back toward the west. They came from the east. That they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And that and they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower. Now, building a city and a tower was not a problem. The problem is the next part, whose top may reach unto heaven. Why do they want to reach up unto heaven? You rained down on us before, and you drowned all but eight of us. We're going to make a tower that reaches up to heaven so you can't drown us again. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Yah said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now, I just killed everybody. I've allowed and saved Noah and his sons, and now his sons and their children, having one language, one speech, begin to build this city and this tower for the sake of that the Most High won't be able to scatter them over the earth, or he won't be able to drown them either. Because that's why they wanted to reach unto heaven. And they begin to do this. Now nothing will be restrained from them. Nothing will be held from them. If they are working together of one speech, of one accord, they will get together. I've already said, I will not flood the earth again. They will build this tower as high as they think they need to build it, but it's in defiance of me. So nothing won't be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. This is just the first thing. Let us build a tower to reach up into heaven so we can't be scattered abroad and the Most High can't drown us again. Go, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Let me stop them from doing this wickedness. Because if I don't, ain't no telling what they will do. Ain't no telling what they will do. So Yah scattered them abroad. Now, They didn't want to be scattered abroad. They didn't want to populate the earth. So Yah scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off city, or they stopped building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Now we did a lesson on Babylon. He confused their speech. Babel. That's when somebody say, you babbling, you ain't making sense. Where that term comes from. But also the city Babylon. The capital, the greatest city of that time, meant confusion. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because Yah did there confuse the language of all the earth. From this did Yah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Why did he scatter us? Because when we got together as one, the only thing we wanted to do was to do wickedness. It is our foolishness. We just want to do foolishness. Didn't I tell y'all I made a promise I wasn't going to flood the earth again? Why would you foolishly try to build a tower into heaven? And now you don't want to, I told you to go abroad and populate the earth and to fill it up. And now you want to stay in one place. Again, against what I told you to do. You don't want to be scattered. So I'm going to confuse your language. Now y'all can't cooperate with each other. And those of you who understand each other, y'all start grouping together and going about your own way. Everybody that speaks German in this village, everybody that speaks Italian in this village, everybody who speaks Swahili in this village, everybody who speaks Spanish in this village, start separating and scattering, as Mosiah told them to do. Go to Isaiah chapter 24. The book of Isaiah chapter 24. And let's get verses 1 through 6. Isaiah chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. Behold, Yah maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turns it upside down and scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. Now, this is what he's going to do in the future, because man continues to be foolish. Mankind. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priests. Well, let me finish reading that verse. Behold, Yah maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turns it upside down, and scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so shall the priest, and as with the servant, so with his master, and as with the maid, so with the mistress. These are relationships. But each one of these, the master or the priest don't treat the people right, and the people don't treat the priest right, because their thoughts are corrupt. The priest's thoughts are corrupt. The people's thoughts are corrupt, relationship-wise. The servant and his master, the relationship, the thoughts are corrupt. The master wants to rule over the slave wants to escape from the master. The Most High says, I sent you into slavery because of your disobedience. But he told the masters never to master or lord it over the people, to not to treat them like they were nothing. So it was against the law for a Hebrew to own another Hebrew for more than 7 years. And then he had to let him go and give him back If he sold his land, give him back his land at the end of the Jubilee. Relationship-wise. So these are relationships, but they are both corrupt. The servant is no better than his master, and the master no better than the servant. The priest is no better than the people, and the people no better than the priest. This is what the Most High is getting at here. These are equal relationships, or relationships that rely on each other. If you are somebody who loans somebody money, you're charging them usury, then you're no different than the one who borrowed from you if you're charging usury. Because the Most High said, for us, we can't charge interest on money that we loan to our brother or our sister. But the fact that the brother or the sister got to come and borrow means that they're going through some things and they may not be wanting to pay it back like they're supposed to. Corrupt relationships. The land shall be utterly empty, verse 3, and utterly spoiled, for Yah has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, and the world languisheth away. This word languish. I think I looked this up. Let me make sure I got this definition right. The word languish. Amal in the Hebrew, a root to droop, by implication to be sick, to mourn, languish, to be weak, to wax feeble. So let's say the world is weak and fades away. The haughty, the high-minded. Now, this verse, this word haughty people in this verse could mean those people who are in high places, or it could be interpreted those people who are high-minded, think that they're all that in a bag of chips. The haughty people, the high-minded people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, as they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant. Now, he's talking about the whole earth. It's crying out. It's sad. It's fading away because of the sins of men. Because man has transgressed the laws of the Most High. Because man has changed the ordinances of the Most High. Because man has broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned. We know that the Most High says he's going to destroy the earth the next time by fire. By fire. And few men left because of the foolishness of men's hearts, because they believe that they don't have to keep his commandments. They don't have to keep his laws. They have to keep his ordinances. They don't have to keep the covenant, the contract. Because we know best for ourselves. We can govern better for ourselves. We don't need the laws of the Most High. We'll make our own. We don't need to go by his ordinances. We'll make our own. We don't need his contract. We'll make our own contract and our own standards. That's why he's going to destroy the world the next time. Because of the foolishness of men. Because their heart, in their heart, is always continually evil. Not to keep the commandments of the Most High, but to transgress against them. Knowing we doing wrong and still do wrong. It's not acceptable with him. It's not acceptable to him. chapter 50. The book of Psalms, chapter 50. And let's get verses 16 and 17. This is what men do, and every time that we sin, this is what we do, especially when we know better. It says, I can deal with ignorance. I can deal with what you don't know. If you did it and you were sinning and you didn't know it, he says, I can deal with that. Problem he has is when you know and you do this. Psalms 50, verses 16 and 17. But unto the wicked, Elohim said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in your mouth? What are you talking about? You saved, you delivered, you're redeemed, and you still doing wickedness. Foolishness. So what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take it my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing that thou hast hated instruction and cast my words behind me, behind thee, behind yourself. In other words, you took his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances, and they were given to you, they were taught to you, and what did you do? I don't need that. I ain't doing that. Just threw it behind you. I'm not walking in that. I'm not walking toward that. So what you doing saying you taking my statute and my covenant? What is that even in your mouth? Why are you even talking about that stuff? And so you got a right to it. I tell you, the Most High doesn't have to accept second best. So his covenant and his statutes, his laws, shouldn't even be in our mouth. We shouldn't even be saying we know him. Because that's what people do. They say that they know him. They say that they got salvation. They say that they are redeemed. They say that he is their Lord and their Savior. They say that he is their God. They're Elohim. And at the same time, cast his words behind them. We ain't got to keep the law. It don't apply to us. He gave. We don't have to keep all of them. Let us, every man, do what's right in our own heart, what's right in our own mind. Foolishness, evil, wicked, as far as the Most High is concerned. I'm telling you and giving you instructions on what is right and what is wrong, what will give you life and what will give you death, and every time you choose to do wrong, it's your nature to choose to do wrong. It's your nature to choose to do wickedness. It's your nature to cast my instructions behind you. That's man. That's why he says, there is none good, no, not one. He said, because this is your nature. You can be angry with me, or you can be in opposition to me. Foolishness. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So when I make my thoughts and my ways known to you, you should heed them, but you don't. You cast them behind you. because this situation in front of me, I think I ought to do that in this situation. I know I shouldn't be doing X, but I did it anyway. And I just cast the instructions of the Most High, where? Behind me. And then at the same time, I want to be talking about how much I love him. How much I fear him. Let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15, let's get verses 1 through 3 and then 7 through 9. 1 through 3 and then 7 through 9. Then came to Yeshua scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Traditions of the Most High. They didn't say, why do thy disciples transgress the law of the Most High? He said, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, this is a simple thing, but look what Messiah said to them. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of Elohim, the commandments of God, by your traditions? You making laws and traditions that transgress the commandments of the Most High. Why do you also transgress the commandments of the Most High? By your foolishness. You made that transgress the laws of the Most High, the commandments of the Most High, are foolish. Drop down to verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draws nigh unto me with their mouth. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Because of their foolishness. Most High, I'll say I love you and then disobey you. Most High, I thank you for your gift of salvation, but I'm going to go back out here and sin again. Foolishness from him. Because if your heart was close to him, when you transgress, it would be out of ignorance, or if you were, you would have to be made to transgress something and you would feel horrible about it. You wouldn't be like, oh, well, I'll pray for forgiveness and he'll forgive me. Heart far from him because of the foolishness of your heart. Because of the wickedness and the evilness that's in our heart. Far from him. We say stuff with our mouth, but we don't back it up with deeds. We don't back it up with word. We don't back it up with actions. But in vain do they worship me. In vain. For nothing. You think that you can honor me with your lips and your heart be far from me and that your worship is acceptable to me? Your prayers are acceptable to me? Teaching for doctrine is the commandments of men. And that's what most people follow because the truth of the matter is, men teach things that they know will attract people, and they teach it in a way that men will accept it because it allows them to continue to do what they want to do, to continue in their foolishness. Continue to be wicked and evil. Say that they love the Most High, but their heart is far from him. Because they are confused, without understanding. In vain they worship me. Instead of teaching my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, they teach the traditions of men, the commandments of men. I said my Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. Some man told you it was the first day of the week. And what do you follow? The commandment of the man. Everything that I tell you to do, you find a way to do otherwise. You just throw my instructions behind you like I didn't even speak, or they don't even matter because of the foolishness of your heart. So the title, chapter 1, the book of Titus, chapter 1. Get verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They, the ones that heart is evil and wicked, their thoughts are continually wicked and evil. They think that they're good. They think that what they're doing and saying is okay. Because they are corrupt. They profess that they know Elohim. But in works they deny him. Being abominable and disobedient. It's okay to be a little bit disobedient. That's what we tell ourselves. We don't know that that makes us an abomination in his eyes. What, you disobedient to me? You are abominable to me. Look at this thing from the Most High standpoint, because we want to look at him all, he's all merciful, he's all kind, he's all forgiving. He is not. You say you know me, and then don't do what I say do. You say you know me, never bother to learn, truly learn about me. Learn what men taught you about me. Didn't come to me and ask me, is it so? Is this the way you truly are? Pastor so-and-so said this. Brother so-and-so said that. Is it true? Will you forgive me no matter what I say or do? Will you forgive me if I know I'm doing wrong and I do it anyway? I said, go and sin no more. You said, I can't stop myself. You say you know me. You know. Because if you really knew me, if you truly knew me, you wouldn't do that. If you truly knew me, you would know that I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And I don't compromise. Yes, I have mercy and I have pity, but not for everyone. Case by case basis, your heart. If your heart is not right before me, there will be no mercy. There will be no pity. If you were willfully disobedient, willfully, in your heart, that's willfully, knew that what you were doing was against me, and you chose to do wicked and evil anyway, and then think that I'm going to forgive you, you're being foolish. Unto the pure, verse 16, that they profess that they know Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I want to get another verse here. To another verse. I didn't put this in here, but it just came to my heart, came to my mind. Let me get it. Go to Romans chapter 1. We're just going to start on verse 28. We don't have to read all the other stuff above it. This will be enough to make the point. And even as they, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind. They wanted to keep that foolish mind, keep that foolish heart, wanted to keep doing wickedness, wanted to keep letting their natural nature have its way. And then justifying it by saying, I'm only human. This is what that gets you. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. I told you that if you don't speak this thing with your whole heart, you're not gonna have understanding. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The foolish man that don't understand that you cannot walk to the old man, the old you, if there really is such thing as an old you. If you were ever rejuvenated, born again, that old man died. You buried him in the waters of baptism. You rose out of those waters a new creature, clean from sin. Did you keep the same foolish mind and go back into sin? Go back into these evil ways? You see, this was the heart of men to do these things from the very beginning. Their thoughts were evil continually. When they came out of the flood, it didn't go away. They didn't all of a sudden become righteous. That they know him, but indeed, in these types of deeds, deny him. Proverbs. No, let's go to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. Chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, let's get verse 6 through 9. Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. Messiah speaking again. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied unto you, hypocrites. As it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines and command the doctrines, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of Elohim, laying aside the commandments of Elohim, throwing the commandments of Elohim and his instructions behind them. You hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of Elohim, that you may keep your own traditions. May you may keep the ways that you learned that you felt were true, felt were right, over the commandments of the Most High. Drop down to verse 13. Verse 13, same chapter, Mark 7, verse 13. Making the word of Elohim of none effect, through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things do you. When we don't seek out the Most High, and even when we are taught of men, if we don't check to see what their teaching is of the Most High, if we don't check it thoroughly, if we don't make sure that it is written, if we don't ask the Most High to give us wisdom and understanding, if he's the one that's got to give it to us, I don't care how somebody teaches, how well they teach. If the Most High don't want you to understand it, you're not going to understand it. And if he don't give it to you, it wasn't yours to receive. He wants you to be where you're at. He has determined that in your heart, you are corrupt. You are reprobate. Let's just be clear with this. To a reprobate mind. Because we have chosen to be corrupt. We have chosen to stay that way. Because we really didn't want to keep his commandments. We shouldn't have to do all that. What do you mean? I didn't grow up doing all that. You didn't grow up knowing you had to do all that. But when you found out you had to do it, you didn't want to do it. Wanted to justify it. Want to stay in your evil ways. I'm not evil. Well, according to the Most High, you are. And instead of accepting that and repenting of it and turning from your wicked ways, instead of seeking the Most High with your whole heart, instead of giving him your all, you tried to compromise. All I got to do is do this. That's some man's interpretation. It doesn't matter what language we're reading it in. If the Most High has given you understanding, then you know that what we've read, it is true. It is undeniable. Because you have ears to hear. What do I mean by that? You're not that you can hear, not that you, the ability to hear, but the ability to hear and understand. Our ways are not his ways, so his ways aren't going to be comfortable to us. The way me might go about solving a situation is probably not the way that he would have it be solved. But when we take it upon ourselves to do it, then we do it our way and not his way. When we don't agree with what he says should be done in a certain circumstance, then we'll justify it. Well, it's not the way of the land. It's not the way of the country that we're in. It's not the way science says it should be done. Psychology says that this is what's going on. But I told you, if you come up against this situation, and this is what you see going on, this is my judgment. My judgment is final. You can't appeal above me. You can't get around me. You can either do it or disobey it. And if you disobey it and still tell me you love me, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. You're lying to yourself because of the foolishness of your heart. Your mind telling you one thing, but deep down in your heart, you know, I don't really believe that. And because I really don't believe that deep down inside, I'm not going to do it. I'll kind of do it, but I'm not going to really do this with my whole heart. I'm not going to really put myself all into this. Go to Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Begins verses 22 through 25. Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Turn at my reproof. Turn at my correction. Change your way, and I will pour out my spirit upon unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. And would none of my reproof, would not do any of my reproof, will not accept it, my correction. Now, when the calamity comes, he says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when you fear, when your fear cometh. You see, when we don't walk with the Most High, when we are walking foolishly with him, when we don't have any reverence, when we don't have any regard, or when we do have regard and we realize that we have fell out of favor, that we are not walking the way we're supposed to walk, fear comes over us. If it don't, it should. If no fear comes over, if you recognize that you're not walking according to the way you're supposed to walk and fear don't come over you, then know that you never had a fear of the Most High anyway. And it's not him that you're serving. Drop down to verse 28. When you learn to fear him, when the fear comes, then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. Seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yah. That's why this always comes back to you not knowing who you're serving. You not really having a good understanding of who you're serving and what he's capable of doing and will do. Have no fear of him. Chose not to fear him. They would not take my counsel. They despise all my reproof, my correction. Even when I'm trying to correct them, out of love, they refuse. So he says, when you call on me, I won't hear you. That's the foolishness of man. I can do what I want to do, and I can treat the Most High how I want to treat him. I don't have to fear him or reverence him. He's an Elohim of love. He is love. But having no understanding, don't understand true love. It says, for you to love me, you need to fear me and keep my commandments. Obey me. If not, you're still in your foolishness. And maybe I have turned you over to a reprobate mind, a reject. Maybe I'm going to cause you to believe the lie that you believe. And can't nobody convince you of it otherwise because I'm making you believe it. People come and, no, that ain't true what you're saying, brother. That ain't true how you're teaching or what you're saying, my brother. Your understanding is off, but you won't believe it. Cannot convince you of that. So he says he will cause you to believe the lie. He will cause you to have the reprobate mind. He will not answer you like he wouldn't answer Saul. I have departed. I have left you. Now understand, this is man's nature. And you got to know each of us individually, we have to choose to fear him. And when we choose to fear him, we choose to walk in his ways out of what? Fear. Not out of love. He didn't say that you didn't choose to love him. You didn't choose to fear him. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12. Sometimes we read this verse as part of our statement of faith, our scriptures that we read, you know, before each precept. Sometimes, you know, we don't. But this is what Yah wants of everyone. I don't care whether you're Israel or not. He told Israel exactly what he wanted, what he required. Required, what's required is mandatory. It's not optional. And now, Israel, what does Yah, thy Elohim, require of thee? And now, you saints of the Most High, what does the Most High require of thee? But to fear Yah, thy Elohim, number one. First and foremost, fear him. You got to choose to fear him, really fear him. You got to be afraid that if you don't do what he says, you are going to end up in the lake. You may get suddenly hit by a truck or something's on the roof. You walk out and you just have to walk out and something rolls off the roof. Something came loose, falls on your head and kills you. Or somebody shooting two blocks away or a block away, they miss what they're shooting at and it hits you. But to fear Yah, thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways. This is what he requires. Fear me. Walk in all my ways. And to love him. When you fear him and you walk in all his ways, then you'll learn to love him. You'll learn why you need to love him. You'll know why you love him. Because he does stand on your side. He does deliver you out of all your circumstances. He does give you joy and peace of mind when you are not in opposition to him. To serve Yah, thy Elohim, with some of your heart. And with some of your soul. To serve him with all your heart. And all your soul. Primary business. What you live for. To keep the commandments of Yah. And his statutes. Which I command you this day for thy good. This is what's required. First thing is to fear him. Second is to walk in all his ways. Third is to love him. He says, how do you say you love me and do not what I say to do? He says, and I love them that love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. You hear these verses and you don't do them, do you not think that you are foolish? Don't you know that you are foolish? If we hear somebody say they love the Most High and at the same time they got a serious sin problem, they can't possibly love him, they can't possibly fear him. First thing is to fear him. And then you got to choose to fear him. Go to Micah. I got a couple of more and then we'll be done. Micah. Well, actually, I got more than a couple. Let's do Micah chapter 6 and Hosea, and we will stop for this evening. Tomorrow morning, we'll do the second part of this. be a shorter lesson, but a second part of this that of what you need to do to get right. According to him, Micah chapter 6. Micah, I guess you can pronounce that Micah. Micah chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. Hear you now what Yah said. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, Yah's controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth. For Yah has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Ask the Most High. Most High says, what have I done to you? What is your controversy with me? What have I done to weary you? Testify against me. Verse 6. Drop down to verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before Yah and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yah be pleased with the thousands of rams or with the 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does Yah require of thee? I just read to you what he required. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy Elohim. He's shown us what's required. Fear me first. Walk in all my ways. Love me. Keep my commandments. Okay. The book of Hosea, and we'll pick it up tomorrow morning with the cure. Hosea chapter 8. And they get verse 12, Hosea 8 and 12. Hosea 8 and 12, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Don't think that the Most High's laws are strange, that they're not for you, that they're not for man, that his law was only for Israel, and each nation gets to make their own laws, because we know that that is confusion. Mankind and his government believing that they know best, better than the Most High, how to govern man, his creation, his own creature, his own creation. We'll govern ourselves. Don't count the Most High's laws, his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments. That's strange. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you tonight, Father, recognizing that there is none of us good, no, not one, and that in the foolishness of our hearts, we blindly serve you if we walk in sin. And say that we serve you, say that we love you. That we are blind. We are without understanding if we don't fear you. If we don't obey your commandments. If we throw your laws behind us. If we use an excuse that they're for everybody else, but they're not for me. I'm exempt from his laws. All I got to do if I sin is confess my sin, and he is true and just to forgive me. Then you are without understanding. And you are walking in foolishness. The Elohim we serve, Father, we know that you are not stupid. And you says, I'm going to judge you according to your heart. I can read your heart. I can read your mind. I can tell what your motivation was. You can't lie to me. You might be able to lie to somebody else, but you can't lie to me. Father, if we are in that condition, Father, give us an unction in our heart, in our mind, that we are foolish, that we need to put away this foolishness and turn to you with our whole heart. Repent. Repent of the foolishness. Repent of the wickedness. And vow never to walk contrary to you again, but to walk in fear of you. All that can hear, Father, and understand. If they are in foolishness, Father, let them put it away even now. That they should learn to fear you and keep your commandments. Then can they claim that they love you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. So tomorrow morning, I will bring the cure according to the scriptures. I pray that you're able to attend. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom and have a very happy Sabbath. If not a happy one, have a convicted one and turn to the Most High with your whole heart.
Amen. Amen. stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Have a blessed evening. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.